Well, good morning. Lovely to see you all. Lovely to see some visitors here. Welcome. My name is Sian and I'm going to be looking at the completing part of our series which we've been doing as a church over the last few weeks. And what we have been looking at is a series, What on Earth Am I Here For? And we've looked at five purposes for our lives. And the first purpose we looked at was that we are called to be loved. The number one purpose of our lives is that we are called to be loved by God. We are not an accident. Our parents may not have planned us, but God did. Our life has value and significance, and we were made to be loved by God, for God. And when we accept God's love and feel totally and completely accepted by him, then we have the capacity to move into the areas of our lives that he wants us to move into, and we experience life in all its fullness. And so being loved and being called to be loved is really important, that we kind of get that download and live it out in our lives. And then we looked at, we are called to belong. We're not just called to be loved, but we are called to belong. We are called to belong to God, and we are called to belong to his family. We are not meant to go through life on our own. We were not created to be like a lone ranger, but we are made for connection. It is the way God has wired us. We were made for community. And so we find our meaning and we find our purpose in life by being connected to one another as well as to God. And then we looked at our third calling. Our third calling was to become. Now, God has plans for our lives. He made us to become what he wants us to be. And you know, we can't just be anybody in the world, no matter how hard we try. Adam could never be an opera singer because he sings a lovely tune in the shower, but he doesn't quite hit those notes Pavarotti once used to. I could never be an Alan Sugar. One, because I'm not a man, and two, because I do not possess the right skill set. I do not possess the organisational skills to run and build a multinational company, because I can just about organise myself on a daily basis. And so let's celebrate our strengths, let's celebrate who God has made us and what we are to become for his glory. And as we know, we are all wired differently. We are all different, aren't we? And so let's celebrate our strengths, celebrate our differences, and enjoy and accept who God has made you to be. And I don't know about you, but sometimes in life, especially perhaps like American sort of programs for young people, they kind of send out a message, don't they, to young people and young, impressionable girls particularly. Sometimes these programs are on in our house. We have a 14-year-old, a 12-year-old, and a 9-year-old daughter, and sometimes she watches these programs. And, you know, the world sort of wants to influence young people to become something. And so sometimes young people can sit there watching these programs, looking at these, you know, amazing girls, all dolled up, hair, makeup, flawless. And you think that's like a wrong message to send, isn't it? Because, you know, these young people kind of look and think, oh, I wish I was like that. I wish I looked like that. I wish I had that hair. I wish I had those boyfriends. I wish I had that success. And it's kind of like a false message that the world wants to kind of, you know, capture the imagination of young people and draw them into something that is perhaps not for them to become. And, you know, what people don't realise is that this life, this TV life, and, you know, what these young actresses have to go through, is it's all a facade. It's not reality, is it? It's not real. What they don't see is the fact that they've been, like, in hair and makeup for 3 hours. And some of these young girls have to undergo gruelling fitness and sort of nutrition regimes, and they're, like, 12, 13, 14 years of age, just to kind of look like this expectation that sort of TV and celebrityism has on them. And you see that some of these girls have had to have, you know, treatments that perhaps some women in their 30s and 40s would be having, like Botox and teeth whitening and hair straightening. And you think, these haven't even grown up yet. But what sort of a message is the world sending out to our young people? And so two young people, become what God wants you to become. You know, become those people that God wants you to become. Don't look to anyone else trying to be like anybody else, because a lot of the time it's just a facade. Become who God wants you to become. And then we looked at our fourth calling, called to bless. We are called to bless others. God didn't put us on this earth to just live a selfish life where it's all about me, all about my wants, my desires and my purposes. But it's all about others too. And we find our purpose as we give our lives away. As we bless others, we too can be blessed. As we help others, we too can be helped. And it's a bit like the law of sowing and reaping, isn't it? When we sow a seed, we don't just get back one seed, but we get back multiple seeds. And so what we sow in life, we reap. And so let's have a heart that seeks to continue to bless others using our gifts, using our abilities, our personality and our experiences, because no one is uniquely shaped like you are. We are all unique. We all have a unique handprint, a unique eye print. We all have a unique thumbprint and footprint, and we are all unique, and we can bless others by being you. And so today we're going to look for a few moments on our fifth and final calling in this series, and that is that we are called to be sent. I am called to be sent. You are called to be sent. And God's plan for history is to gather a family that will love and live with him forever. And the Bible makes it clear in Ephesians. It says, his unchanging plan has always been to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus, and this gave him great pleasure. And so all of us are created by God. All of us are loved by God. But not everybody is a child of God, because we have to choose. We have to choose to be in God's family. And so God's whole purpose in creating the universe is to gather a group of people who choose willingly to love and to follow him. God gives us a choice. I have a choice whether I choose or reject God. And each of us have a choice whether we choose to love God and live for him, or whether we reject him. And it's not faith if it's forced. And so those who choose to love God become part of God's family. And that is through the work of Jesus on the cross, that he died for the forgiveness of all the stuff, the things we think, say and do that are wrong, that are bad, that are sort of, you know, not perfect. And so Jesus died so that we could have our past forgiven, that we can have a hope in him, and that we can have life and purpose and an eternity with him. And so once God's family is gathered together, then we sort of go into phase two, which is after earth, which is after life, which is after we die on this earth. And it's in eternity, so to speak, where the real life begins. And so this life here on earth, finding our calling, finding our purposes, you know, has eternal rewards. And that is so exciting for us when we choose to love and follow God. And so for God to gather his family, somebody has to pass on the good news, the message that Jesus came, the message that Jesus loves us, died for us, set us free from all that junk, and that we can have a purpose and a relationship with him. And so in Romans 10, it says, In Romans 10, 13 to 15, it says, anyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they've never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? And how will anyone go and tell them without being sent? And so when we choose to believe and live for God, we are sent. You are sent. I am sent to bring others into God's family. There's nothing more important than helping people determine the destiny of their lives, because it's the only thing that's going to last. William James said this, and he was a philosopher and a psychiatrist about 100 years or so ago. He said, the greatest use of your life is to invest it in that which outlasts it. I think that's great, because sometimes in life we can get so caught up with the here and now and the little things, but you know, let's continue to invest our lives into those things which will outlast this life here on earth. God's kingdom is going to last forever, and everything else will eventually vanish. And that's why living a purpose-driven life, committed to living for God, worshipping him, developing spiritually, is important, because the results of all of these activities last forever and have eternal gain and eternal reward. And so what is our personal mission to the people in our lives? As we know, our loved ones, our family, our friends, our neighbours, those people that we work with. How can I be a blessing to those people in my life? How can I help them come to know God in a personal way? And as a church, you know, this is outworked very practically in all the work that we seek to do as a community into the community here. You know, these are very practical things. It's to bless people, it's to educate, it's to provide a service, it's to meet a need with the love of God, to extend the opportunity for then people to come and find out more and to learn about the God who loves them. And Jesus didn't just say to do this, he actually gave us a model. And when we look at Jesus' life, he sort of did five things. And those same five things are like what God wants us to do to fulfill his calling. Jesus said, I've given you an example to follow. He modeled the importance of church. Jesus said he would build his church, a special kind of church, a church that promoted reconciliation with God and with people. And the reason, you know, there is so much conflict in the world is because there is spiritual emptiness, isn't it? People are empty spiritually. People's hearts are empty. They war with themselves. They war with one another. They war in relationships. And that's why we have conflict between genders and nations and religions and families. And so when Jesus, who is the Prince of Peace, reigns in our hearts, reigns in our lives, that allows us to make reconciliation with God and others. And there's nothing worse, is there, than when there's conflict in the air, whether that's in home life or work environment or any situation. There's nothing worse than when there's conflict in the atmosphere. I know for us as a family sometimes, having two boys, you know, boys like to have a little fight now and again. And when there's conflict in the air, nobody's happy. But when apologies are made and things are calm, once again there's peace. And to live in that realm of peace is a wonderful thing, isn't it? And we can have peace with God and we can have reconciliation with him through the love and work of Jesus. And so the word for church, ecclesia, can mean assembly, like an assembly of people. And we are gathered together as God's assembly, a group of people organized together for a common purpose. And so let's continue to value church, to value all that we do here together and to support one another in it, because Jesus modeled the importance of it. And secondly, the second thing Jesus did was to equip servant leaders. You know, Jesus loved everybody, didn't he? He fed the 5,000. He trained the 70. He discipled the 12 and he mentored 3. He invested time in people. He imparted knowledge and experience and he imparted wisdom. He built faith in others and he gave others the opportunity as well. And a couple of weeks ago, we were on a conference down in Lampeter. And Jez and Helen and Matthew were sort of leading the young people, the young leaders. And I saw this in action. You know, they were sort of servant leaders. They were there helping and facilitating and organizing people. And they were training younger people and giving them opportunities to serve and to bless. All of these leaders, 250 leaders from all over Wales, came to this conference. And it was amazing to see this in action. And Jez had an email off one of the pastors, I believe, in the week to say he was so blessed and touched and really inspired by the sort of attitude of these young people, these young leaders who were being trained up in New Wine, in the churches across Wales. It was pouring with rain when he left the conference, and as he walked to his car getting soaked, 2 seconds later he looked around and there was one of these young leaders there with an umbrella helping this guy to his car with his luggage and stuff. And that really impressed upon him, and he really saw this sort of servant leading mentality in action. And it's really good to have that servant heartedness and to be a blessing to others. And so let's continue in that. And the next thing, Jesus assisted the poor and cared for the sick. You know, God loves the poor. The Bible tells us Jesus went into every village preaching, teaching, and healing. He taught, he educated, and he healed. And it's no surprise that there are so many hospitals and schools and universities across the world that were started by Christians, by missionaries, because that's kind of like typical, isn't it? You know, the love that Jesus had for people to heal, to educate, to train, and to teach. And so that's really good. And so Jesus is our saviour, he's our teacher and healer. And so the church stands for educating the mind, caring for the body, and saving the soul. This week we had a Spanish family stay with us. And the little girl had a little bit of an accident in the park. She was only six, Carla. We'd had tea, we'd gone to the park, and she was on this little roundabout, and her big brother, who was 2 years older than her, was spinning them round really, really fast. And all of a sudden, you could see Carla flying through the air and landing on the floor, and she fell face first into the grit. And she got up, and I've never seen so much blood in all my life. She completely split the bottom of her lip in half, and the lip was just gaping open, and there was just blood just gushing everywhere. So this is like their first day in Swansea, a mum and two of her children. Her dad was back home in Lyon in Spain. I took one look at this lip and I thought, that's not going to be patched up. We need to go to A&E straight away. So we jumped in the car, drove down to A&E. 4 hours later, we were patched up and sent home to come back the next day for surgery. So she had to go in and have a general anaesthetic and have to have an operation on her lip to stitch it back together to realign. But you know, I can honestly say the care and the love of these nurses and doctors was absolutely outstanding. It was a privilege to experience, you know, the love, the care, the generosity, the professionalism of this sort of working team down there in Morriston. And I just really commend anybody who's medical after this week. You know, you do a fantastic job, and I just think it's really, really great. And that we met one nurse, and she came on this shift as Carla was coming out of theatre, and she was English, but she'd lived in Madrid all her life, and her parents were missionaries, and she spoke fluent Spanish, and so she kind of took over the situation and was really able to, like, talk about a God thing, like, really able to, like, help and support the family. And this nurse was giving up her job in Morriston, and she was off to the Conga for 2 years. Talk about living out a calling. I was like, oh, that's really amazing. So yeah, okay, the next thing, Jesus educated the next generation. He said, let the children come to me. They are the kingdom of God. It's amazing, isn't it, that Jesus' plan for the church, for you and for me, corporately and individually, is like we are being sent by God. It's like the antidote for the like five biggest problems in the world today. And if we look up at the millennial goals of the UN, the United Nations, the five biggest problems on the planet today are these: emptiness and conflict, corruption and selfish leadership, poverty and disease, lack of education and literacy. And what do we do as a church? You know, we are serving our communities and addressing some of these issues. Jesus is like sending us, and we are part of this huge plan to bring love and hope and purpose to the lives of those in our communities. And so Jesus is the antidote, in a way, to the world's biggest problems. And that's why Bill Hybel says this: the local church is the hope of the world. And it's so true, isn't it? And we are a part of that. And what a privilege it is. How exciting to be part of God's rescue plan here on earth to bless and touch people. In Acts 1:8, it says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the world. And so what is he saying? He's saying, well, it starts where you are. It starts in your town, in your family, in your street, in your school, in your office, and then to the wider community and so forth. And so God is sending us, he is sending you, he's sending me to tell others about him, about his grace, about his plans, about his love, and about the wonderful things and purposes that he has for people. And so let's pray for the opportunity, and then we look out for it. You know, it's lovely, isn't it? Say, oh Lord, please use me. And then we kind of shy away from opportunities when they come our way. I've done it myself. But let's be a people of faith that pray for the opportunity, and then we look for the opportunities and seize the opportunities to bring that wonderful message of hope that Jesus loves them, that Jesus is real, that they can have a relationship with Jesus here and eternity spent with him forever. That is such a wonderful message and such good news. Let's give to help others. Let's continue to invest in the work of the church. Maybe we can't do things like go on a missions trip or work in a charity shop or run a project, but we can all help and support and pray and give and contribute. John 1:8 says, support the believers. And the Bible teaches that when we give and support, sharing the good news, we are like actually participating in the reward. You know, we will be rewarded for the things that we do for God. And so step out in faith, You know, volunteering is amazing. It has such value, doesn't it? You know, it's amazing to think that this country would be more on its knees if it wasn't for the volunteering hours of the church. That's you and me. That's all the things we do. That's all the things we do for free to serve and benefit other people other than just ourselves. And I looked on the EA website, and this is probably about 2 years old, but nevertheless, it is amazing to think that evangelical Christians, the church, are already trailblazing, volunteering in their local communities. 500,000 unpaid hours every week to their local communities. 500,000 unpaid hours of service that are benefiting other people. When we think of the support and food banks and the provision of education and care to children and families in communities. If paid the minimum wage, this would contribute £3 million to the national economy each week. Can you imagine if the government had to pay all of us to do what we do? That would be like another £3 million out of the bank of the sort of government every week. That's massive, isn't it? That is so huge, and I think we are a part of that, and we are benefiting our communities. So be encouraged, volunteer, keep going. Okay. 2 Timothy 4:5. Says work at bringing others to Christ. Why? Because then they too will experience the love and forgiveness and the peace and the purpose and their pasts forgiven and a purpose for living just as we have. And sometimes when we've been a Christian for a long time, we can tend to forget how hopeless it felt without Jesus in our lives. Remember that no matter how contented and together and successful a person may appear to be, you know, without Jesus, they are hopelessly lost and headed for eternal separation from God. And that is major. And that is something that should bother us. I know it bothers me, and sometimes I'm a little bit, oh, well, you know, I'm sure they'll hear about it sometimes, but maybe we are that link in the chain of somebody coming to know God. The Bible says Jesus is the only one who can save people. Everybody in our lives needs Jesus. And so if we want to be used by God, we must care about the things God cares about. And what we know God cares about most is people, is the return of lost children. And that's why in the Bible we see the story of the lost coin, the parable of the lost sheep. You know, the prodigal son. These are all to illustrate, you know, the love that God has to see his people return to him, to see a family gathered together. So nothing matters more to God, and the cross proves this. And so let's be on the lookout to reach those people for Jesus. Let's not be distracted by things that really don't matter in life. And let's not waste our lives on stuff that's not going to last. John 20:21 said, Jesus said, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. So we are ordinary people empowered by God, making a difference together wherever we are. So let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much that you have come to us, that you have saved us, that you've given us hope, that you have forgiven us, that you give us purpose for life and a hope for an eternal destiny. And we just pray, Lord, that all those wonderful things that we have, would we not just like keep in the bag of our lives, but that you would help us to be brave and help us to be bold to share that amazing good news with others, that we would see other people added to your family, other people come to experience you in their lives. So, Lord, I pray for us. I pray and thank you for all that you've done for us, all you are doing through us as a body of people together. And as you are growing this family here in Cornerstone, I pray that we would be unified and that we would have a servant heart and that we would truly continue to follow in the ways that you have set out for us. So we say, Lord, use me. We say, send us. And whatever that looks like for individuals, I pray that you would equip us and fill us with the power of your Holy Spirit, because we are never alone, and it is all about you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.